There's a common theme behind movies and magic tricks and even masterfully made meals. We want to draw back the curtain and find out what's really going on behind the presentation. We just watched a story about a dragon and the hero. But I want to help us flesh it out a little bit this evening, and I imagine at least that most of you have heard the traditional story of Christmas from Luke chapter 2. Shepherds watching their flocks by night when, lo, angels sing glory to God, and the angels tell them to find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And they go, and so do wise men who give gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Born is the Savior. And you may have heard this story in your church as you were growing up, or maybe your mom and dad at home for the holidays, or maybe you even watched Linus recite this story straight from the King James Version of the Bible. But what's really going on beneath the surface? We're going to go behind the scenes, and to do that, I'm going to read from the book of Revelation. It may sound strange, but bear with me. There's a story that sounds like it comes straight out of a fairy tale, but this story is more real than what our eyes could ever really see. It's a deeper reality that's hidden beneath the surface, the cosmic war that is in the heavenly realms. Over the last two Sundays, Pastors Matt and Kenny have helped us to put our lives in perspective as we live in anticipation. And today we prepare ourselves to celebrate that we aren't just anticipating the Messiah, nor are we just living with anticipation, but we are also anticipating victory. So hear the words of Revelation 12, and I encourage you, if you would, to even maybe close your eyes and listen carefully as you pay attention to this very vivid, picturesque story. This is how the story goes. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains, in the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems, which are crowns. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he may devour it. She gave birth to a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time, and times, and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. So now, I am not usually one for symbolic references. I tend to find them very difficult to understand. I mean, like, what's going on here? This celestially clad woman with eagle wings and a red dragon with many heads and horns and crowns that command angels. And Michael, whoever he is, fighting against the dragon with his angels. And how is this the case that this passage is helping us to anticipate victory? What's all going on here? I'm going to argue that it is the most important story of all time. My plan today isn't to do some deep dive into the book of Revelation and spend hours trying to figure out all of the pictures. We would be here for months. I couldn't do that. But I could give you some context as to what I think the passage is trying to show us this evening. Our scene starts in heaven with the woman. But first, I'm going to pause and I want to take a look at her enemy, the dragon. This dragon, he's powerful. He has many heads with many horns and many diadems, or as I've said before, crowns. And we see that this enemy is smart and he's vicious and he's powerful. Diadems signify authority, and he has complete authority over the world at this moment. Who could beat this dragon? Well, nobody, you would expect. He's also so powerful that just his tail swept a third of the stars in heaven. Just with a casual swipe, this dragon is destroying with complete power. But his focus isn't on the stars. It's on the woman. Or rather, his focus is on this child-to-be. So what's so interesting about this child? Well, if you look throughout the story of the Bible, we see the saints of old are awaiting for the birth of the promised Messiah, and this picture is the picture of him. This Christmas story is a Christmas story, right? It's to us, a child is born. And that's the hope that we as Christians long for, that salvation is coming. And this woman, who seems to represent faithful believers of old and today, all the way throughout church history, she's crying out as she longs for the promised child to come. Is it a silent night? Well, maybe. But it was not all calm. There was a fight that was breaking out. And there was anticipation. And there was hope that we were awaiting. This victory that we anticipated is coming, but not yet. That was only part one. And as the dragon loomed, he was prepared to destroy this coming child. As far back as the book of Genesis, we actually see that this is a promised showdown. The child of the woman Eve, would be at odds with a serpent. And as you may have heard in our text today, this dragon is the ancient serpent, Satan, the devil and the deceiver. He is the wicked beast who rebels against God and all things that are good. He is the father of lies, and he champions lies and sins against us. This promise that we hear in Genesis was a prophecy that would declare the end from the beginning, that the child of the woman would destroy the dragon. But behind the scenes right now, with the dragon glaring down, it's looking pretty bleak. The all-powerful serpent has the woman in his eyes as he stares down the child to come, ready to destroy him before the child has a chance, ready to eat. Ready to kill, ready to destroy. And one night in Bethlehem, we see that this child is born, and that's the end. At least that's what you would expect back here. But no, But no, the story doesn't end here. We see in the foreground in Luke chapter 2 and in Matthew chapter 2 that the child is born and that he's preserved. His life is not taken from him in an instant as would be expected. And so too here, the child is taken up and the woman waits in the wilderness to be nourished. The dragon did not prevail, but this dragon is angry. And he will do everything in his wicked power to win. Traditionally, when we think about Christmas, we don't think about it as a time of war. Perhaps when you think of war and Christmas, you are thinking about the famous World War I story of the Christmas truce, where soldiers laid down their weapons and they played a game of football for a day. But Satan, he doesn't take a day off from his tyranny, nor does God loosen his grips on perfect justice and perfect love for us. There was no truce. The spiritual realm was at war and is at war. It was then, it is now, and it will continue to be at war. The birth of Christ was not the end of the story. It was a glimmer of hope that shook the world. But the prophecy had not yet finished, and that wouldn't take place for several more years. We, the church, we don't stand here today simply because of the birth of Jesus, but we are here today because of his death. Perhaps you're a visitor with us and you've never walked into a church before. So first, I would like to welcome you to Calvary Baptist Church. We're so glad that you could join us today. We're a church that meets every week because we have this great joy and this great privilege of knowing Christ and having the opportunity to make him known to the world. And I want to make him known to you today. The life of Jesus is of significance, right? He lived a perfect life, not just this ideal kind of good person where he seems to overall do nice things. He lived with complete obedience under God's law. He was never once in disobedience or disorder or disfavor. He considered others more significant than himself. He kept the law, thinking of us. He did good works for us. He exerted his energy in caring for others. He was this Prince of Peace, but he didn't take his royal rule or status or divinity and use it over others. Instead, he came to serve. And he came knowing that he would suffer, but he prepared himself joyfully for us. And what did this perfect God who became a sinless man do for us after living this holy, virtuous life for us? He dies, nailed to a cross. And he suffered alone and abandoned, and it was a dark day. The serpent won. But as the dragon was proclaiming victory, we know that that was only part two. Our story today, it spoke of a war that broke out in heaven of Michael and the angel, or an angel of God, as we learn, and his angels that he led. And he was fighting against the dragon and the angels that he led. Now, these angels following the dragon, they are fallen beings that have fell for the lie that they could have it all when they rebelled against God with Satan, the serpent, and the deceiver. We didn't know when this specific cosmic war was being fought, but we do know the spiritual realm is alive and it's active today. In this very moment, there is a battle that's raging on, kingdom versus kingdom, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. But brothers and sisters, I do not want you to fear, because again, we are anticipating victory. We have been assured of this outcome. And here in Revelation chapter 12, Michael and his angels, they secure the victory. The dragon is cast down to earth. But the dragon still hasn't given up. The dragon goes on to deceive the nations, to torment the saints, to accuse the church, to steal and to kill and to lie, to raise up oppression and spark anarchy and belittle us and torment us and convince us that we are failures. The hope of the ancient serpent is that he can deceive us just like he did before, back in the Garden of Eden when we fell into sin, we ate of the fruit, and we fell into shame and lost harmony and fellowship with God, the creator and life giver. The dragon wants death to reign. He wants sin to prevail. He wants to set himself up as the victor. But we don't believe in dragon tales such as these because we have God's word and it speaks a far better story. So the child went to the cross with the dragon watching, ready to devour our hope. And on that cross, Jesus died and he suffered. He suffered for us and for our salvation. And though he died, he didn't stay dead. But that's not the dragon's plan. It was God's plan, and it was something that was always prepared. The dragon had lost from the start. This promise in the garden was that he was always destined to fail. The child of the woman would destroy the dragon. He would crush the head of the serpent, and through the death of Jesus, the promise came to pass. Praise the Lord. The child, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the righteous one, the ruling king, he took up his iron rod as the true ruler of the world, and he declares victory. He took our sin-stained suits, and he gave us his robes of righteousness. He bore the penalty of those sins for us, and yes, he died, but he didn't stay dead. He took up his life. He was renewed. He had victory in his arms, and he came with conquering power. And this is the hope that we proclaim. But the dragon continues to flail and to roam, seeking whom he can devour. But dear saints, know that we have been assured of victory. So anticipate victory, brothers, and anticipate victory, sisters. There is no hope for this accuser, and one day soon, the serpent, the dragon, the devil will no longer be able to deceive. He will continue to seek after you, church, but though he is a dangerous foe with great power, we serve a king who can fell him with a single word. Our God is a mighty fortress, and that is what we celebrate this Christmas Eve. There is one more thing that I see in the text, a note of victory that I want to share with you, but it is also a sobering note, church. It's what John hears in this book. It says, again in this passage, now, there was the loud voice that was coming from heaven, and it said, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth, and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The dragon was conquered by the blood of the Lamb, who is Christ our King. And if you don't trust in Jesus as your Savior, then I want to plead with you to please believe in him today. This world is dark. It's like a silent but lonely night that doesn't seem to end. We look at this world and the nations around us and we don't see hope. But there is hope for you in Christ Jesus the Lord. He is here for you during the spiritual war that's going all around you, and he's here to offer life and joy and salvation to any of you in this very moment. And if you'd like to talk about it, please do. Talk about it with a person who came with you, or you can talk with me or with any of the leaders here at the church. We would be so happy to help and talk with you about it. But don't wait. Please do it. The story does not have a happy ending for this world. But it is a story that anticipates victory for those of us who are secured by the blood of the Lamb. And this text also tells us that the dragon was conquered not just by the blood of the Lamb, but we also see that he is conquered by the testimony of the saints who did not fear death. The ones who are willing to die as they proclaim the word of God to this fallen and broken world. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to consider our lives and our loved ones this Christmas, consider the loved ones who died, proclaiming the goodness of God and the glory of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you think about those who have been martyred, consider them as we proclaim victory. For the saints, through our Messiah, know that the victory has been assured. I want you to know that our nights of sorrow will one day turn into days of endless joy. All of your pain will be gone. There will be no heartache. There will be no marital strife. There will be no sickness in our kids, or cancer, or pain, or sorrow. Because all of these temporary afflictions, which are truly afflictions, will be done away with in an instant. And the dawning of redemption is the glimmering light that awaits our heavenly state, where there will no longer be a sun or a moon, for we look forward to being in heaven, where the glory of God will be the radiant light that we see. And as you, perhaps, remember your loved ones, remember that for those who are in Christ, we will one day see them again, and all will be bright and new. And that is how we, the church, anticipate victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. As we look at your word, we know that the end has already been written and the victory has been declared. May we be reminded of that on our darkest days. Fill us by your Holy Spirit with hope as we celebrate our Savior, Jesus, this Christmas season. And may we rejoice with one another as we look forward to the day when Christ returns and when our faith will be turned to sight. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.